The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We'll be giving you lots of details in the coming days about the events we're planning for Dare to Care and how you can get involved in this year's Dancer for Cancer. But to remind ourselves as to why this is so important, why our campaign is raising much needed funds for the Irish Cancer Society, we have a couple of guests with us in studio, Dr. Lisa Dwan and her mother Marion. And the reason we've asked the two of them in together is that Lisa is a researcher at the Irish Cancer Society, and her mother is somebody who has benefited from the advent of new cancer drugs to deal with her own cancer. So thank you both very much for joining us here in the programme. Lisa, if I can start with you, what sort of work do you actually do in research in the Irish Cancer Society?
So my research is based in the Royal College of Surgeons. So I am specifically working on breast cancer research. So what we're doing is we're looking at breast cancer cells in the lab, and we want to understand how they grow and how they develop, and basically look for new ways to treat hormone-driven breast cancer, which is what my research is specifically focused on.
Hormone-driven, explain that.
So around 70 to 80% of all breast cancers diagnosed are actually fueled by oestrogen. So these patients, they tend to have a good prognosis because they can be treated with targeted therapies like tamoxifen and so on. But unfortunately, a lot of patients tend to develop drug resistance to these drugs. So while they'll initially respond, they'll stop responding. And really what we need is new drugs for patients that are in this scenario.
So tell us, when you get into this type of research, there must be plenty of places doing this type of research. Are you all in competition with each other? Are you cooperating across various hospitals and medical centres, not just in Ireland, but elsewhere?
No, we all work together very closely, especially in Ireland. So my PhD was, as you mentioned, funded by the Irish Cancer Society. So I was funded by a programme called Breast Predict. So that took together all the like major breast cancer researchers in the country, along with clinicians as well, from various different hospitals around the country. So we all kind of worked together to develop this big consortium. And we meet up very frequently as well. So it's great to work alongside each other.
And then how do you see that you're actually making progress when it comes to research into something like cancer?
So basically, yeah, when we all get together, we sort of update each other on how we're progressing. And we tend to publish our work as well as we go along. So that puts our findings out into the scientific community. And that's how we keep up to date.
OK, and then what about developing medicines to deal with the particular findings that you make?
In what?
Is that something that goes to the pharmaceutical companies, or do you actually try and develop medicines that will actually deal with the findings you make as to the causes of cancer?
So in my lab, what we would be kind of like a little bit of a step back. So we're kind of looking at what parts of cancer cells we want to actually target with drugs. And when we find that this, you know, might be a useful target, then we take the step to go to a company and to look for a drug then.
How did you get into this?
So the reason why I got into breast cancer research is my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. So was it 14 years ago?
Yeah, 14 years ago.
So I was 14 at the time when she was diagnosed. So ever since then, I've had a real drive to get into the field.
And just before I talk to Marion about that, when your mother was diagnosed as a 14-year-old, how aware are you of the seriousness of a diagnosis like that?
I don't think not at all. I think it would be completely different if it was today. I think when you're 14, it was probably better off, though, I think, because I was quite optimistic about it and you think, oh, well, nothing bad is ever going to happen. I think I'd be a lot more worried today. But
and Marion, when you got the diagnosis, not just maybe perhaps worried for yourself, what did you think about the fact, I have a 14-year-old daughter who I need to look after? Does that come into your thinking as much thinking about your own health?
Yes, it did at first. Like when I realised I had the breast cancer, like so when I found out we had the breast cancer, I said to my sister, Barbara, that make sure you look after Lisa if anything happens to me, I said, because she's only 40 and she's no other siblings. There's only just three of us, there was. So I said to my sister, just promise me one thing, if anything happens to me, please just look after her. And said she would.
That must be something I'd imagine that happens an awful lot when people get cancer. They are worried about themselves, about their own future, whether they're going to survive or be able to treat it. But if you have children in particular, that must be particularly terrifying.
Yeah, it is, because you don't know what the future is along down the road is. Like, so at the end of the day, we didn't know whether I was going to go live through her or go through. I went through an awful lot of drugs, with everything else, with the radiation, the chemo. So my opinion was, for the first few years, you go through a lot and you wait for 5 years before you get something not at all clear. So I knew when I got that 5 year, that I knew every year was going more and more for me, that I knew I was going to live to see Lisa grow up and go through all this.
Now, can you tell me a little bit, what type of cancer did you get and do you know how it originated?
No, what was it, the Hep 3, was it?
So it was stage 3 breast cancer. Stage 3. Yeah, so it would have been hormone driven and HER2 positive as well.
Now you know because of all your expertise and research.
So. Yeah, she knows all that. So when I found out like we had it, like when I was actually told and we brought into the room, like there was doctors, nurse there. So I thought I was just going to go in and say I had the cyst because that runs in the family. So when he told us I had cancer and all of a sudden I didn't hear that. All I heard was just, you know, you hear muffle, blow, 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 everything. So looking at my husband, heard everything. So when we came out of the hospital, we just kept walking. So I didn't know even what he said or what I had or what was going to go on. So when we got home, he had to explain everything to me, what was going to happen, what was going to go on. And then I just realised what was ahead of me for the next year.
When you say what was ahead of you for the next year, I mean, did you go into it on the basis, I'll come through this? Because
I had very positive attitude, yeah. That was my goal, that my attitude is, I'm going to fight this.
And how hard was the treatment? Because you mentioned you had a number of things. You had radiation and chemotherapy.
Yeah, I had the chemotherapy for me, the worst, like, when you take that force, like I was going on for 3 weeks force and then he sectioned down for I was on it every week. But the one thing that really got to me was the loss of your hair. Like when you lose your hair, that's hard for a girl as it is, like to lose your hair. So Lisa and my father that Saturday morning, they cut the hair off. So we had laughed. We were filming the whole thing. We were. So I was going down to my mother's that day and it took me an hour and a half to get out my front door because I couldn't go out the front door because nobody knew that I had cancer and nobody knew that I had the cancer. I was wearing a bandana. Then I finally got out, then that was it, then that was my goal.
I suppose when people see you wearing the bandana, they immediately know. And how are people with you then when they realise that you have cancer?
You have cancer, you start to get the pity falling away. Oh, I didn't know you had this, or you didn't know you had that. And my attitude was, well, I'm going to fight this. I worked in Michael H. now in Ballyferma, and the staff down there were brilliant. Like, I went back to work after 6 weeks, 6 weeks, and they weren't going to let me go back. So I was saying I wasn't going to sit at home for 6-7 months. Okay. Now, the job now, I must say, they were brilliant. But I went into work. There was days I went in. I had to go back home because I wasn't able for it. But I must say they were very good. Everybody was so supportive around it was.
Yeah, that does strike me. It must be something that's difficult to get the balance of when you're going through cancer treatment. The need to actually try and maintain your everyday life, go back in the balance, but at the same time, been physically not being able to do it because of the effects of the treatment.
Yeah, it does. Like, because when I sat at home for the first few weeks, I was so bored and I couldn't go anywhere. Like, she had to stay in because you'd catch any germs, something like that. And it took a lot for me to go back to work because I was just getting so fed up sitting at home. So I just wanted to go back out and do something.
You came through it all, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. 14 years later, I'm still here.
And how proud are you then to see your daughter going into cancer research as a career?
I'm so proud of her. I don't have the words to say, but I'm just so proud of her. What she's gone through now and for being there for us. Like when I used to go see my doctors once a year, I'd bring Lisa because she knew more than what I know. So they'd tell her I'd ask answers,
just talk
to her. And she'd ask all the questions.
And was this what motivated you to go into this area?
Yeah, it was. I think I always had an interest in science when I was younger. But when this happened, I think just being, it's your life really for, how long was it? Like a good year of hospitals all the time. And I would have been in the oncology ward and I just took a huge interest in it. So yeah, I just fell into this career then. It was definitely something I wanted to do.
Where do you see the future of scientific research with cancer going? I mean, do you see it potentially as being something that there will be some sort of vaccine against all cancers? We do hear about particular vaccines against particular types of cancer. Is that where we're heading to? Or do you see a future where there's going to be a whole range of options to deal with almost every individual type of cancer?
I definitely do see a lot of progress coming along. I think in terms of vaccines, the reason why vaccines are so effective for HPV cancers is because it's an actual virus that causes a cancer. Whereas other cancers, it's your own cells that something is going wrong.
Hormonal related cancers.
Not even just any other cancers. Like something is going wrong in your cell and you can't get a drug really to distinguish that because it's your own cells. And when it's a virus, you know, it's something different, or if it's a bacteria infection, you know. But it'd be quite difficult to actually to differentiate your own cells, your own cancer cells from your normal cells. So what's happening at the moment is I think cancer therapy is really moving into personalised therapy. So like, you know, you say with chemotherapy, it's almost like a one drug fits all. So it really, it's very toxic.
With all the various side effects that
exactly,
has as well.
Exactly, yeah. And the reason why it's just so many side effects is because it's killing all of your normal cells as well, like your hair follicles and the cells within your, this lining of your stomach, which is why it makes you so sick.
And so you see more sort of targeted therapies in the future.
Yeah, so that's, I think it's the direction that cancer research is really going. Like the, my mom had tamoxifen and Herceptin, so they're both targeted therapies. So they basically, they look at the differences between what's wrong in the cancer cell as to what's different to a normal cell.
Marion, you must have been one of the earliest ones on Herceptin, were you?
Yeah, I was actually initially in one of the courses nearly. Yeah, to Gara. So on that for 12 months, so it was every week you were getting that. You had to go in every Friday and get that, and you're in there for a couple of hours.
Yeah, she would have been one of the first people in Ireland to receive Herceptin. It was just approved.
Which again is another example of how cancer trials are important.
Exactly.
There's always new drugs coming along.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your story with us, Marion Dwan. And Dr. Lisa Dwan, thank you for being with us as well as a researcher for the Irish Cancer Society. As I was saying, we'll be giving a lot more details from Ian's programme tomorrow morning onwards in relation to the big event we have planned for Dare to Care and our Dancer for Cancer on the 30th of April and all the various ways that we want you to get involved as well. So stay tuned tomorrow for more details here on Today FM of this year's big event.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.